Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, where text 26. Yai Shraddaya Barhisthi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namavir Ahuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu Yai Shraddaya Barhisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namabir Akhuto Muda Krinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu Naishradaya Barhisi Bhagaso Havir. Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namabir Ahuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu Naishwaraya Barhisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namabir Ahuto Mudha Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisam Prabhu. Bahisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Istam Vidhi Mantra Vashtuta Ekapita Namabir Ahuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisam Prabhu. Yashradaya Bahisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtan Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Ekapritan Namabir Akuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisam Prabhu. Yashradaya Barhisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namavir Ahuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu. Matajis. Yashradaya Barhisi Bhagaso Havir Niruptam Ishtam Vidhi Mantra Vashtutaha Eka Pritan Namavir Ahuto Muda Grinati Purna Swayam Ashisham Prabhu. Yai, by whom the inhabitants of Varsha, Shraddaya, faith and confidence, Barhisi, in the performer of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices. Did I say performer? It should be performance. So in the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices. Bhagasha, by division. Havi, oblations. Niruptam, offered. Ishtam, to the desired deity. Vidi, by the proper method. Mantra, by reciting mantras. Vashtutaha, with the proper ingredients. Ekaha, that one supreme personality of Godhead. Pritak, separate. Namabhi, by names. Ahuta, called. Muda, with great happiness. Grinati, he accepts. Purna, the Supreme Lord, who is full in himself. Swayam, personally. Asisam, of all benedictions. Prabhu, the bestower. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. In India, Bharatvarsha, there are many worshippers of the demigods, the various officials appointed by the Supreme Lord, such as Indra, Chandra, and Surya, all of whom are worshipped differently. The worshippers offer the demigods their oblations, considering the demigods part and parcel of the whole, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts these offerings and gradually raises the worshippers to the real standard of devotional service by fulfilling their desires and aspirations. Because the Lord is complete, He offers the worshippers the benedictions they desire, even if they worship only part of His transcendental body. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.13, the Lord says, Mahatmanastu mamparta daivim prakritim astritaha vajanti ananyamanaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. End of quote. Mahatmas, advanced devotees, worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Others, however, who are also sometimes called Mahatmas, worship the Lord as Ekatvena Pritakvena. In other words, they accept the demigods as different parts of Krishna and worship them for various benedictions. Although the devotees of the demigods thus achieve their desired results offered by Krishna, they have been described in Bhagavad Gita as hrita jnana, not very intelligent. Krishna does not desire to be worshipped indirectly through the different parts of His body. Krishna wants direct devotional worship. Therefore, a devotee who directly worships Lord Krishna through staunch devotional service, as recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param, is very quickly elevated to the transcendental position. Nevertheless, devotees who worship the demigods, the different parts of the Lord, receive the benedictions they desire because the Lord is the original master of all benedictions. If anyone wants a particular benediction, for the Lord to award it is not at all difficult. Jai. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshu Umli Tanjena Dasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Anchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhavevata Paritana Pabhanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Harsivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's a very interesting verse here. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the position of the Mahatma, the pure devotee of the Lord. And what's interesting here is that Prabhupada also says that there's another kind of Mahatma, sometimes called Mahatma. But this particular Mahatma has desires. And due to those desires, he worships the demigods for some benediction. So we see that the real Mahatma is, as Prabhupada describes in the particular verse, that they're completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, of course, one of the first signs of such a great soul, such a great Mahatma, is that they're not in any way in the material world, but they're situated in the divine nature. They're not under any control of material nature. And in that way, they do not desire any type of benediction or boon from any demigod, but they're simply firmly situated in Krishna consciousness or devotional service. Daivahi esha gunamai mama mayadviraya mam eva ye papajante mayam etam taranti te. Krishna says in a Bhagavad Gita that this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But those who have fully surrendered unto me, they can easily cross over. So this is the real position of a real Mahatma. That real Mahatma is one who is not in any way, shape, or form controlled by the three modes of material nature. And we see that the Mahatma, he does not dwell in any shape or form or allow his attention to be on anything outside of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see that because he knows Krishna as the Supreme Lord, he's firmly fixed. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that a person who understands this sees Krishna as everything. What's that verse? Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatvaman samtim richati. This person sees that Krishna, he is the benefactor of all austerities and sacrifices, that he's the friend of all living entities, that he's the supreme lord of the spiritual material world. And in this particular way, this person, this great soul, this Mahatma, becomes freed from the pangs of material existence. So this is what kind of struck me in this particular verse in terms of a real Mahatma. And we see that in Krishna consciousness, we have the opportunity to become a Mahatma, but we see that association is of the utmost importance, how we associate and who we associate with. We see that there can sometimes be these Mahatmas that have material desires, and if we associate with such individuals, then we also will develop these types of material desires, material boons, benedictions. Or if we associate with the real Mahatma, then we desire to serve Krishna and become a pure devotee of the Lord. And of course, this is a challenge. It is not easy. It's not easy to associate with Srila Prabhupada. Like yesterday, we heard a very powerful lecture. And in the course of 20 minutes, 25 minutes, Srila Prabhupada blew away any kind of conception we had about enjoyment in a matter of 20, 25 minutes. And that's very difficult to associate with. Very difficult because of our desires. We have so many desires. But the Mahatma teaches us that if we associate with this great soul, we'll begin to understand the material world for what it really is. We'll see that the objects of material enjoyment, our desire, our sensory activities, our attachment, for a sensual pleasure, the body, the false ego, and so on. All these things are actually produced by the external energy of the Lord. These are all Maya. And we can only understand that by the association of that great soul, by a great Mahatma. Otherwise, we don't understand that. If we associate with anything less than that, we'll want benedictions for the body. We'll want something for our mind even, and the body. Sometimes we see one may have bad health, so one may worship the sun. Let me go out into the sun. Let me chant some mantras. Let me perform some yajna, some penance. Let me get the sun. And one will do that in order to get health. But still, it's for the body. Whereas one can actually get your vitamin D just by sitting out in the sun and chanting Hare Krishna. Very simple. Same thing. Just sit out in the sun for 20 minutes. Get the vitamin D that you need for health with the bead bag and chanting Hare Krishna. We don't need to chant any other mantra. Just the Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient. And you'll become delivered at the same time as you get health. But we should see that the material nature is under the supreme control of the Lord. But it works through the agency of Maya. Krishna doesn't want to create this material world. It's not like Krishna wanted to create this material world for all of us to suffer. But he only did it because of our desires. And whether good or bad happens to us, it is ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya yakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanina kuntev jagat viparivartate. Ultimately, everything that's going on, this material nature is working under Krishna's direction. Everything. Nothing is outside of Krishna. He controls everything. So ultimately, Krishna is the cause of our suffering, so-called. The suffering that we're experiencing. And he's also whatever enjoyment that we're experiencing, he's also that. And we see that this is going on millennium after millennium. It's being created and annihilated, manifested again and again and again. This is the nature of the material world. So, as human beings, it's imperative for us to associate with a real Mahatma to end this cycle, this endless cycle of birth and death and so-called suffering and enjoyment, so-called. Because everything is in relationship to the body. It's described, tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogantam yenamam yupayanti te. So, this is a real Mahatma. He teaches us this understanding, how we should surrender to Krishna. And then we can actually enjoy. Otherwise, it's all just simply for the body. And another interesting thing is here that the Mahatma, the real Mahatma, teaches the living, the conditioned souls, the principles of religion. Principles of religion are not like some dogma. This is the difference. We see in religious movements, there's like some dogma or some formula, man-made formula for so-called liberation. But a real Mahatma, he teaches the principles of religion. And the principles of religion are like cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. These are the principles of religion. Any real religion, if they enunciate these four principles, they can create liberation for the living entity. One can actually go back home, back to Godhead. When we say cleanliness, we don't only mean externally, but internally. One needs to become cleansed, like our mind. Our minds are very dirty. We think of so many illicit activities. We're so much attracted to gross sensual pleasures. And we see that within the mind is where they begin. They're in that mind. And we see that when we think about that sensual pleasure, then the body becomes motivated. It becomes aroused. So we see that in Kali Yuga, this principle of cleanliness is practically non-existent. Practically non-existent. Because we think of so many crazy sensual things. And what to speak of that, when we become attracted to these sensual pleasures, cleanliness even becomes not properly performed. Even cleanliness is stopped. And we see that from these sensual pleasures, so many diseases are created by these desires that are within the mind. So this is one principle. Another principle is austerity. And we see austerity in Kali Yuga, practically speaking, is non-existent also, because austerity is spoiled by pride, by our pride. We see that our pride, it stops us from performing different kinds of sacrificial activities for the benefit of the Lord. Some may think, well, why should I do that? Why should I bow before some statue? I'm who I am. I'm whatever. I'm Slavas. Why should I bow down? And because I am who I am, why should I listen to the pure devotee of the Lord? Just pride, thinking we're something or someone. And Prabhupada said that this pride is so prominent in the age of Kali Yuga that even the pauper is proud of his penny. And you know, if you've lived here long enough in a Krishna temple, there's a lot of people that come that are they're homeless. They're homeless. They don't even have practically, a shirt on their back. And you try to tell them something, and what do they tell you? Some will even say, don't you know who I am? I'm God. I'm this, I'm that. I remember one devotee here, when they first joined, they didn't tell me this till years later, but when they joined Krishna consciousness, they actually thought that when they came in and moved into the temple, that we would see that person as being God. And when he stayed here for several months, he was getting very disappointed because we weren't seeing him as God. And he was getting very frustrated with us. Really, and it tormented him. And this went on and on. And finally, after two years of being here, or 3 years being here, he finally got over it. And he found out that, he finally realized that it was a mistake. But he actually thought that he was God. It's incredible how someone can possibly think that way. But you see, this is why there's no austerity. Because of this pride. We have this pride. We don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like following the regulative principles. I don't feel like offering my bhoga to Krishna. I don't feel like it. We're very prideful because of who we are and what we think we are. But these are just simply products of Kali Yuga. And then there's mercy. And this mercy is something that's very non-existent in Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga, we're also addicted to some type of intoxication. You can see in Kali Yuga the intoxication of self-aggrandizement. What are some of the things I'm thinking about in that term? False pride, or what am I thinking? It's not clicking with me right now, but someone who thinks they're something that they're not. This is a certain kind of intoxication. It's a certain kind of craziness. And what to speak of some type of intoxicant, a substance. In Kali Yuga, so many people are addicted to some kind of substance. I read some article many years ago, and it was phenomenal how many people spend how much money, some multi-billions of dollars, to be able to go to sleep. And then they spend multi-billions of dollars so that they can function during the day. So they're addicted. We're addicted to all types of intoxication. What to speak of our false ego, our false pride. This is a certain kind of intoxication. And because of that, there's no mercy. If you speak to a person who's intoxicated on some substance like alcohol, does that person exhibit any mercy? Very rarely. It's basically the opposite. And due to false pride and ego, we see that mercy to feel compassion for living entities is a very difficult thing in this age of Kali Yuga. Almost impossible, almost non-existent. This is one principle of religion. And another one is truthfulness. This is the last leg of the four principles. This is the last pillar, the last leg in religiosity. And Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga, this truthfulness is spoiled by lying propaganda. Now, it was very interesting how Prabhupada described that, lying propaganda. So when I was thinking about that, I thought, yes, this it is lying propaganda, because what do they teach us? They say work hard, like karma mimamsa philosophy. This is like this philosophy, this karma mimamsa, where just work hard and you'll get it. And there's so many gurus out there that tell you that. Okay, here's the formula, work hard, and just because you work hard, you're going to get what you want. This karma mimamsa. And this is all lying propaganda. They're telling each and every person, work hard like anything. Work like an ass. Work like a donkey. And you'll get whatever you want. Don't worry about it. Then how is that possible? Because we see some people working like anything out there. And they have nothing. Literally they have nothing. Practically speaking. So we see that this truthfulness in Kali Yuga is deteriorating more and more. More and more as we go, this lying propaganda that, you know, work like anything and you'll get it. Or if you do like this, then you'll get your sense gratification. If you get this particular job, you'll really be happy. You'll get your Ferrari. You'll get your nice house on the lakefront or by the ocean. You'll get this, you'll get that. And we become convinced by this lying propaganda. And because we become convinced by this lying propaganda, we give up the desire for Krishna consciousness, for truth. Real truth is that we should use this human life in the service of the Lord. We should take this one body that we have right now and use this body in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is real truth. Anything outside of that is simply lying propaganda. So we see that in Kali Yuga, it's so difficult. So difficult. The odds of one actually getting liberated from this age are miraculous. Literally miraculous. So when we can have the association of a real Mahatma, like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, this is a real Mahatma. Srila Prabhupada exhibited all of these principles of cleanliness. Prabhupada was so clean in his mind, so clean in his body. He was supremely clean. And Srila Prabhupada, austere. His austerity was incredible. The exhibition of his austerity were unsurpassable, sleeping a few hours a day, fully absorbed in Krishna. And he was prideless. We know that if you saw Srila Prabhupada, he was just humility personified. This was the most amazing thing that what struck me about Srila Prabhupada's humility was in San Francisco, he gave a nice Bhagavatam class. And the class was extremely powerful. It was just mind-boggling. But when Srila Prabhupada stood up from his Vyasasan, he looked so humble and so frail and so uninhibited that it was just, you could do nothing but cry. It brought out the emotion of just unbelievable desire to serve him and to help him and to just worship him. Prabhupada was like that. And he exhibited all this by his supreme austerity in completely absorbed in Krishna. And he was prideless in terms of who he was and what he was able to accomplish. And who could argue with Srila Prabhupada in exhibition of his mercy? He gave up sleeping, gave up eating to create these wonderful books for us, so we can read these books, so we can become liberated from this material world. You know, it was causeless mercy by Srila Prabhupada. And truthfulness. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was the champion of truthfulness. He took upon himself to preach against all of this lying propaganda. I recall one particular comment Srila Prabhupada made, and he said, if they really knew what my mission was, they would kill me. This is Prabhupada's quote. If they really knew. So Srila Prabhupada was the champion of truth, that this material world is nothing but lying propaganda in order for us to become exploited by the demoniac leaders of society, those that are simply engrossed in sensual pleasures and desires. And they want you to work hard, like anything, so that they can actually make some profit. And for the principle of profit, we see war. So many difficulties. So this cannot be stopped by some statutory laws. You can't make a law or some police vigilance. We called the police the other day for police vigilance, and they told us, oh, I can't do nothing for you, I'll see you later. So this problem of corruption, lying, stealing, this can't be stopped by some statutory laws. As you know, the tendency is to cheat. So you can imagine if you were a politician, the law books. There's probably a building as big as this, just with all the laws that they've had to do continually to stop some thievery or some pilfering, some cheating, something. So statutory laws will not do it. And neither will police vigilance. The only thing that will stop this activity in society is by establishing the principles of religion, reestablishing cleanliness, austerity, mercy, truthfulness. Without these principles, there can be no change. And this is what the science of Krishna consciousness is. We are trying to establish these principles within ourselves, and taking the example of a real Mahatma, as His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And we have to take this seriously. Otherwise, we'll always be lamenting and hankering. We'll always, when things are good, Krishna's great. When things are bad, Krishna, why me? I gave you 30 years of my existence. I gave everything I had. What did I do that was so bad? And the real devotee sees everything as the cause of the Lord. So because he sees that, it doesn't matter. Yes, I know we're speaking high-fluting philosophy here. If I caught cancer tomorrow, how would I act? How would I deal with it? Obviously, like a conditioned soul. I'd be like miserable as anything. I'd be miserable, I'd be suffering, I'd be unhappy, because I'm a conditioned soul. But we should understand, at least in principle, that everything is there, and the cause of all causes is the Lord. But he works through the agency of Maya. And we have the opportunity to get out of Maya by the association of a great soul, such as Srila Prabhupada. And we can show the world what it is to be merciful by the distribution of this knowledge, by giving people an opportunity to come in contact with this type of knowledge. Then we see that we can check the onslaught of this Maya. This is very, very important. What's that word? Shrotriyam. Yeah, Shrotriyam, Brahmanishta. Shrotriyam means like person who's actually heard this knowledge from disciplic succession. Is that right? Shrotriyam? Yeah. So this is the kind of person we need to associate with, that kind of individual. And Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam means that one who's actually firmly fixed in the service of the Lord. This is the type of person that we should search out after. One who has heard this knowledge from disciplic succession, from the Supreme Lord. And then Brahmanishtam means one who we see that's fixed in the service of the Lord, undeviating, fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. And that person we should submit ourselves to and get rid of our pride like that. Okay, so I'm going over. I better stop while I can. All right. So, if there's any questions, we'll... Yes, Nam Kirtan Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. You were mentioning how the non-devotees they're expecting like to work so hard, yet they don't attain so many things because ultimately it's their karma. Is there a danger sometimes of the devotees unconsciously maybe thinking, well, I shouldn't work so hard, you know, just do the minimum in Krishna consciousness and that's good enough? Is there a danger in saying that we shouldn't work so hard and because ultimately it's our karma anyway?
That is a danger. That means that one is not really understanding the philosophy. I would say that as a karmi, if you're thinking of using a karmi as an example, you know, obviously they're working hard for some kind of material gain. And they're working like anything for that gain. And they use the example of, like, let's say, a person who's homeless as a person who's lazy, and because of that, they don't have anything. But we shouldn't compare Krishna consciousness like that. We should see that according to how we surrender to the Supreme Lord, Krishna rewards his devotee. Krishna is impartial. Really, he's impartial. But he's especially inclined to help his devotee, those that are very dedicated and sincere in devotion to him. And whatever that devotee wants, Krishna will fulfill. Like Dhruva Maharaj is a prime example. You know, Dhruva Maharaj, he was determined to go to the forest and to see Vishnu, call Vishnu. So by his austerity, he gave up eating, sleeping, practically breathing. Now that's pretty intense. I would say that's pretty hard work. Wouldn't you? Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And from that, Krishna came. He saw Lord Vishnu. And then he acquired even more than he bargained for. Even more than he bargained for, he received. So the philosophy of Krishna consciousness should be that we should give everything to Krishna. We should work as hard as we possibly can for Krishna. And the result will be Krishna will give us whatever we want. He will. If we decide that we're only going to work so much for Krishna, then probably that's all you'll get. Most likely, in due course of time, Maya may even become more powerful. Maya may create even more of an illusion for us. And if we try to do the least that we can, that means that we're not trying to be surrendered. If we try to manipulate and think, oh, let me only do this much, that means that if someone comes up and asks you to do something, you'll say, no, I can't, or no, I won't. Isn't it? It almost means like that. You'll say, well, I can't. Or you'll think of some excuse. But the examples of Srila Prabhupada are much different. Prabhupada gave up sleeping and eating practically to preach. We see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a full-time magistrate. He would go home, eat a little bit of supper, go to bed, get up and write books on the science of Krishna consciousness. These are the examples that we have. And you'll see that anyone who is successful in the science of Krishna consciousness, they've actually worked amazingly hard to the point where it's inconceivable. And even if we just take them as an example and do a fraction of what they do, the result could be quite, you know, very good. Archana Prabhu, you had something to say.
First of all, from Mumbai, India, to Vancouver, Canada, you're getting kudos. Everybody's saying very nice class, thanking you. On Kirtan's point, part of the problem is that as conditioned souls, we tend to have one vision of hard work. Somebody's toiling and sweating. And you know, this is typical of Shudras and less. They think hard work means hard physical labor. They don't see somebody like, let's say, Jhutakarma Prabhu we have in our community here. You look at him, he doesn't look like somebody sweating and toiling, but he works very hard, traveling around the world with his science preaching. Just to research one of his books takes so much mental energy and fortitude and concentration. So this has been going on since time immemorial. Prabhupada tells the story of the Shudras who approached the king and said, why are you, you know, rewarding this minister so much? He sits in an office all day, he does nothing. We're out in the sun toiling hard and we get hardly enough to eat. And this guy, you give him so much. So the king was very intelligent. He said, okay, I'll show you. There's the royal elephant. I want you to tell me by the end of the day tomorrow how much the elephant weighs. So the Shudras said, oh, no problem. They all got together and figured, you know, we just need to get a big scale and put the elephant on it and we'll tell you how much it weighs. So they ran all over the kingdom. They couldn't find a scale big enough. So the next day the king came and said, well, how much does the elephant weigh? Well, we couldn't find a scale big enough. So then he called the minister. I want to know by the end of the day how much the elephant weighs. So the Shudras started laughing. Ah, ha, ha, you'll never figure it out. So, sure enough, at the end of the day, the king called everybody together and asked the minister, how much does he weigh? He told him, you know, like 3,000 kilos. And the Shudra said, how did he figure it out? He said, well, I got a boat, put the elephant on it. When it sank, I marked it. Then I took the elephant off and just kept putting on weights until I got back to the same mark, and I figured it out. So we have this, you know, vision that hard work means you got to sweat like anything. But no, you also work by your intelligence.
Another thing, too, is that hard work comes in for different reasons in terms of like love. Let's say love. If you love someone, you can probably be working hard as anything, but will you really even notice it? Will it be drudgery? Will it really be creating a problem within you? No. Srila Prabhupada worked tirelessly because he loved Krishna and he loved his guru. And because those were two main factors in his life, he worked like anything. He gave up, he sacrificed everything. Was he unhappy? No. He was completely ecstatic. So when love is involved in work, one becomes tireless. But when one doesn't love something or someone, it becomes drudgery. It's painful. So if we don't develop love for Krishna, if we don't develop love for our spiritual master, the work will be like that. It'll be like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. It becomes drudgery. It becomes painful. Even though it can be the most littlest of things, it can be just the most minute thing. But if we love our guru and we love Krishna and we say, okay, perform some austerity and get up in the morning. Oh, come on. That's you're asking me too much. That's over the top. You know, that's a bit too much. Like you're getting personal. You know, come to class. Oh, come on, I heard that guy talk a million times. I know exactly what he's going to say. I know exactly how he's going to talk. I know what he looks like. I mean, you know, if I don't come there, what am I missing? But if we love Prabhupada, if we love our spiritual master, if we love Krishna, how can we not love his words and his instruction? We love it because of that reason. Sachit Tanoi, you had your hand raised.
Thank you for a nice class. You already answered my question. I was going to ask, or maybe add, that you were mentioning that when you saw Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco, and he was extremely humble. And yeah, I was just thinking that that's one of the crown qualities of a pure devotee, and that's what attracts the most, and it becomes almost imperative that for every member or follower of Srila Prabhupada to imbibe those qualities. Yes. Just like in the Bible says,
yes,
become pure as your Father in heaven. So to work for anyone or for a society, you just mentioned the last part that if you love someone, you do anything. And devotees, we heard in Prabhupada's memory, they'll do anything for Prabhupada without any question. So, I mean, as a senior devotees, as we've been for many years, some of us, it becomes for each one of us to become responsible in that. So people, when they come, they see, this is a place where I want to be.
Yeah.
Because I can see the qualities in this person that I don't feel exploited, I don't feel uncared, and I feel that I am in a secure place. At least when I joined, I felt it that way.
Yeah.
When I saw the devotees, the love they had for Prabhupada, I thought, these people love this personality, and I want to have something of what they have. So if we do an act in that capacity, and then our preaching, our the members, you know, the philosophical part is there, but the behavior, the attitude, and the relationships, and the love among ourselves, that's what is more, will be more speakable.
Yeah.
Thank you for your
question. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.